Now, this beginning of that remarkable tape, Juanita brought Ralph over about lunchtime on Saturday, the 14th of November, 1970, the beginning of Channel 1 Right on this new reel. Channel 1 Right on this new reel. Juanita and Ralph this Saturday after lunch, 14th of November, 1970. Juanita brought Ralph over this Saturday at lunch, afternoon, on Saturday, the 14th of November, 1970, beginning of Channel 1 Right on this new reel. This Channel 1 Right on this new reel, and Juanita brings Ralph over for her first talk, and of course his, on Phil. The funeral was yesterday, Friday. Channel 1 Right on this new reel, 14th of November, 1970.
Well, I hadn't, I don't usually eat breakfast, and we had eaten a late breakfast, and I didn't mean to come right at lunchtime, Guy. I didn't even pay any attention to the time.
Well, when you go visiting, you have to be prepared to eat everywhere you go.
I've been eating so much since I've been down here. If I stick around, I'll weigh 200 pounds shortly.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
It is.
It's such a pleasure.
I could have brought your pot if my mind had been functioning this morning. It was sitting out there, but those green beans were delicious.
They were real fresh. Lots of times you get cake and meat and you don't get any vegetables. Mm-hmm.
Well, they were delicious.
You know, it would help a lot if the mind would function every now and then, is all I would ask.
Me
I
too.
Don't mean this
me
all
too.
The time.
I'll take you up on that.
Well, you know, you can.
Now you and Phil fished.
Oh yes, sir.
Well,
let him tell you when he met them. First tell him about what Papa's sister asked you yesterday about you being adopted.
Yes, you remember when the minister yesterday
said
Phil had two adopted children.
Yeah.
And 10 grandchildren.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Patterson, of a fellow sister, came over to me and she says, "Who is the other adopted child?"
Yeah.
I said, "Bernice, I'm the other adopted child." She says, "Well, I didn't know that he had legally adopted you." I said, "Now, this is a little different situation."
I want to hear that.
I says, 35 years ago, I ran up with these people in Fernandina Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
And I says, I took a liking to them. I just couldn't get away from them.
Yeah.
So I just turned around and told both of them, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to adopt both of you." And that's what I did. Bernice says, "Well, there's no papers involved, are there?" I says, "No." She says, "Is it legal?" I says, "No, it's not illegal. You can't put them in jail for it."
Now that's a good story, isn't it?
You adopted them.
That's
yes.
Right. That's
well, I did too.
35 years ago, he adopted them. But he was just a kid at the CCC camp. How old? 16?
No, I was 20. I'm 55 now. I was 20.
And he used to take Paul when he was younger than Don and keep him down at the CCC camp with him overnight.
Oh, yeah. I had to raise Paul. I kept him with his minute when he was out of school.
In the summer, when they were down at Fernandina, staying in, down at their place at Fernandina in the summer, when he was.
I'd put him on an apron. I was a mess sergeant in CC camp. I'd put him on an apron. I'd come on here and make bread, and he'd get dough and flour all over him.
You know, that's one thing that I missed, that CCC camp. I tried not to, but
it was one of the greatest things ever happened.
Yes. I used to run around wherever there was, and I'd go in and stay a day or two with them.
Right.
But I never did feel like I was at home, you see. They
Well, I did, because I had starved to death, and I had to have food.
Yeah.
So there's no problem at all. And then set the table. I was growing up, and I couldn't get enough to eat. I got court-martialed and got put in the kitchen on KP,
yeah.
And that's where I wanted in the first place. So I got on KP. I said, well, this is pretty good, but I'm not making enough money. So I told the second cook, I said, you better watch. I'm going to roll you for a job. I beat him out of his job, and I told the first cook, I said, watch me. I'm going to get your job, and I did. I said, Mess Sergeant, you might as well move over. He'd been there a long time. He said, well, you'll never get my job. I wound up with his job.
Is he telling the truth, though?
Very much
he's
so.
He's telling the truth, yeah. He's cooked on Coast Guard.
I was 7 years in CC camp.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Well, you'd be spoiled to death.
Right, I was spoiled. And when I was...
But they didn't spoil you in the CC camp, did they?
No, sir. Everybody worked hard.
Everybody worked in there.
Right. You got good food. I remember we used to feed the men. The ration allowance was 35 cents a day per man, per ration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had plenty right here.
Then
I don't usually
they
eat breakfast.
Put me in charge of over several camps in the state of Florida and South Georgia. I had 5 CC camps I was in charge of to supervise. They sent me to cook some bacon.
Gene Robinson.
I made
some
bread.
Some of his homemade sausage and fixed that and
cooking bacon.
So I ate a big breakfast about 9 o'clock.
Anyway.
So I made such high grades until.
You're not going back to Atlanta until next
week. I don't care. I'll be there when I get there. So I started teaching cooking and bacon, meat cutting. So when the war came along, I had submitted diplomas and made such grades.
Is this sugar?
Okay, that's
your sugar.
Name is Faye?
Yeah.
Right. Put this I went to the Navy. They gave me a chief petty officer's rating when I first went in.
Oh, there was some right there.
And, I said, well, might as well get this thing over with.
You want cream?
And I followed the cooking and baking. And the last ship I was aboard was a battleship in New Jersey.
Right.
But I helped to write the Navy cookbook. The 1951 and 52 edition on the Navy cookbook. The big cookbook this day. But I haven't gotten away from that because I like to cook in large quantities for people to really enjoy.
Yeah.
And for 2 or 3, I don't care about cooking for them.
You know, 35 cents a head wasn't so bad in 1933.
That's right.
But it still sounds mighty small, don't it?
It was small.
Well, how did you make it out?
Cutting in to know what you're doing. Let's put it like this, guts and determination.
Oh, really?
Because one day I woke up in the morning, I had meatloaf for lunch that day, and I had 225 men to feed, and I had 20 pounds of meat. I said, I got to put 2 and 2 together. I got to make this thing stretch. I had 2 gallons of black-eyed peas and some turnip greens and rutabagas and what have you, and I put them through the meat grinder. Got some old stale bread and mashed it up and used a lot of spices. I fed 225 men and had meatloaf left over, and it says the best meatloaf they ever tasted in their life. That he was a black eyed pea loaf. Ketchup, doctored up with ketchup and spices.
That's 10 men to a pound of meat, wasn't it?
Right. You try to feed 10 hungry men. It's been working out cutting fire lanes out here in the Ocala National Forest. The camp I was in was setting out on Lake Kerr. Right out on Lake Kerr. This is back in 1933 or 34.
Well, what was Mr. Patterson doing down there?
I didn't know him at that time, so you see what happened.
Go later.
This, what's the name of that, the number of that camp? We got 1020 and 1024. 1020 was down on Half Moon Lake, further down.
Mm-hmm.
This is camp number 1024.
That's when they built Juniper.
Right, right.
CCC camp built Juniper.
Juniper.
You didn't know about that, did you?
No.
Did you know the highway that goes from
Oakland
to Salt Springs? That was a two-rut road when we got in there.
Yeah.
Nothing but sand, sandy army truck. We had to get out and push it through that to get in there.
Yeah.
He's no, full of stories, too.
We left and moved to Fernandina Beach. The camp was assigned up there to improve and restore Fort Clinch State Park, which is covered up with sand. All the dungeons and whatnot was covered up with sand. The brick was torn down. So we're living up there. We built in cabinets. Moved out all this old sand and what have you. And started Fort Clinch State Park. Cutting roads in there on the beach and what have you.
Delicious.
When I was up there, Pop was living, Mom and Pop was living way across Georgia, and they had a cabin on the beach, down in front of the beach. They had a big pavilion there and a skating rink and a dance place to dance. No beer store, just soft drinks and things of that nature. And that's where we met the people.
Yeah.
And this is back in 1935 when we met them.
Yeah.
And,
Paul was 8 years old.
Yeah, he's a little taller.
Hey.
Yeah, about 8 years old. And so I had met him in 15 minutes. I don't think before I had Paul adopted already.
Well, you're the nearest thing Paul's ever had to a brother. You've been closer than Seb and him.
So every weekend we'd either be up at Pop's house or they'd be down to the beach or I'd go up and get Paul for the weekend and take him back on Sunday night or they'd come down the
beach. I've skipped a link. What was Miss Patterson doing down there?
At Fernandina?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were living in Waycross, but they had a cottage at Fernandina
Beach.
And they,
yeah.
So they were down there on the weekends and all during the summer. But I don't know whether you've ever heard them tell about they'd send one of the niggers down to the beach with Paul and let him stay down there all summer long, practically.
That's right.
No!
That's news.
Huh? I never heard a word about that.
He had a German Shepherd dog. There's a picture over there of Paul with his German Shepherd. And, I mean, it's a nice picture in a frame of him in his suit with his dog in front of him. And Blackie was to him what Smokey is to my kids.
Yeah.
True.
And that dog slept up in the bed with Paul, except when he heard Big Mama coming down the hall to check. And Blackie would be on the floor. Now, Papa knew Blackie slept with Paul, but Big Mama didn't allow it. And he knew Big Mama's walk. And he knew Papa's walk. He wouldn't get out of the bed if it was Papa coming. But if it was Big Mama coming down the hall, he was on that floor, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, Blackie died in his bed up there in under that what was the old oak tree beside the place that the Davisons are in now. But he's in a trunk and he's all he's all fixed up and he was buried in
the casket. Paul got his trunk.
Now that's the early 30s, and they lived in Waycross.
They lived in Waycross. He was cutting. This is when he was cutting timber in the Okefenokee Swamp. You've heard those stories about the Okefenokee Swamp.
Big business. He was with quite a bit.
They had a train running back and forth, you know, into the swamp to pull those logs out. They pulled them out with a train. No, he was making money. Then.
He was making money.
And he was.
Then they came to Florida to cut the timber out here at the junction, Micanopy Junction.
Well, first he came, what's the town just south of?
No, he went to Bayard after he came here.
Bayard, that's where
he was here,
and
they cut timber in Bayard and stayed here and rented, you know, a place up at Bayard. In fact, they ran that motel up there. And but they kept the place here. They had built this house by that time, and so she just kept a maid here. She had Papa's mother and father looking after them, and so she just kept a colored woman there all the time to look after them and keep Paul in school here. Then at one point, she put Paul at Bowles Military School in Jacksonville. That's when she found out he was skipping school and wasn't going. So she sent him to Bowles for a while.
And he sneaks away from Bowles, and he goes down and gets some Army papers and sneaks into the postmaster's office. He decided he wanted to leave Bowles and join the Army and got the postmaster's seal and forged the postmaster's signature and was in the Army.
Really?
Mom, I thought would hit the ceiling. She had to pay to get him out, though.
Had to pay.
That cost her $300 on cash money to get him out. I said, let him stay. Do him good.
And he wasn't 17. He was about 15 or 16.
15 years old.
Boy, he'd just be.
He just didn't want to be confined to that school over there.
Boys military school.
They finally settled him down, though, didn't they?
Yep.
Well,
settled him down. I think he couldn't one of his own. I mean, his own son there, if he could.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When they was at Waycross and working the swamp, over there,
mm-hmm.
What'd they do? Just come down every now and then to the cabin or
yes,
cottage?
Right. During the summer, they would come down each weekend during the summer.
Oh.
But Paul was down there with a Negro maid to look after him.
Yes.
During the summer, so they just left
that's
him
right.
down there with somebody to look after.
Leave him on the beach and he'd either be there or be out at the CC camp with me, see him.
Yeah.
Well, at the CC camp, he enjoyed working with me. I'd pull him out of the army cot over next to mine. It's all right with the commanding officer. He says, as long as you don't get in any trouble, he says, I'm going to leave him in your custody. Well, I said, mess, sorry. As I get some work out of him, I won't leave him wandering around. I won't let him get with the rough kind of boys. It's been letting him get in the room. But I'd make him put in a full day's work. He'd get so tired, he'd go back. Says, can I lay down for a few minutes to get some rest? I said, okay, take a break.
He had just come in when we started to leave over there. He would have come with us, Paul.
Oh, I wish you had.
Yeah, well, he had just driven in, and he had better stick around there with his mother and the folks
well,
right
what
now.
Did, Phil and Mabel, what sort of figure did they cut in the world at that time?
That's fantastic.
And just what you, I don't know if I follow you exactly what
well,
you
well, did they look like Mr. and Mrs. Vanderbilt driving up, or?
No.
Well, now I don't know about that. Big Mama always had a big
now,
car.
Now, she did,
she
yes.
did. Him, he had a Ford. She had, when they came to Florida, she had a LaSalle.
LaSalle, right. She drove a big car. Big
that
car.
Was a big car.
Oh, yes, and she wore these fancy clothes. On.
Yeah, it
out
was nothing.
World.
I mean, she could mm-hmm. leave us in Jacksonville, and it was nothing for her to go up there and pay $50-$60 for dress back in those days.
$50-$60 for shoes.
In 1940.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
but he
she
made
was a
money.
Beautiful dancer, just as graceful on her feet as anybody.
He
ever
made
seen.
Money,
and
she spent money.
Midnight.
Big Mama.
Yes. Just as graceful as any, just as light as a feather.
I can imagine.
Well, I'll be damned. And look at her now. She can't
but
get
you,
up
you,
by
I can, you can say I'll be damned on something else, too.
Yeah.
She didn't trust me and pop out of her sight.
I can
imagine.
She wouldn't appreciate you telling all her secrets, though.
I don't. But God, I bought his last fishing license for him when he was... What, 65
yeah.
years old,
mm-hmm.
Santa Cristo River. I left Juanita's house, her and Paul was living down there, and Big Mama there with them, and I said, Pop, you're 65, just turned 65, I'm going to buy your last fishing license. We had a few cigarettes, we didn't take any food, we'd go down there and get us a little rowboat. We had plenty of bait, go out in the Cristo River, and we got out there and began to sit there and fish, and we would pull them in, not thinking what we'd do, catching, acting, didn't care.
Yeah.
But they were biting and were biting real good. And I said, Pop, you know that sun's going down? And we've been out there before daylight. No food to eat, just drinking the old salt and fresh water. Take a mouthful every now and then, sit there and talk.
Right?
I said, Mom's going to raise clean when we get home. I know it. She said, let her raise clean. I don't give a damn.
That sounded like it.
So... pulled around back up the dock there, and we had a tub full of fish this big. And so we got back to the house there, and old Mom was just chomping the bits like an old, she was kicking up mud and everything else.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let's clean the fish. I think Juanita and Paul and all of us got in together and cleaned up the fish. And Juanita said, I said, Pop, you hungry? He said, I'm about to starve. I can half them fish myself. So cleaned them up and Juanita got in there and cooked fish and hush puppies, and we had a platter this long and this high. Mabel says, Phil, you can't eat those fish. You know they're not good for you. He said, Mabel, shut up. I caught these damn fish and I'm going to eat them. He did too.
And survived.
And survived. Couldn't have done better.
And kept right on talking.
Yeah, kept on talking. Nobody interfered with him. And he'd look around and said, Mabel, I said, shut up, I'm busy.
when I first went over there, I went over there and talked to Mabel. Oh, it was just poetry, the way she could talk about it. Vegetables, raising them.
Yeah.
And every now and then, every time Phil come in, he'd bust in and do the talking, and I just thought he was the biggest old windbag I ever seen.
Is that right?
Yes.
At first.
Yes. Don't explain me.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Oh, I just thought I could go to sleep at night listening to Mabel talk about raising them beans and things.
Now, you know, she can.
Oh, she can. And then she got off on this other subject, and she never talked much about beans.
Mm-hmm.
Of the two, I'd take beans anytime. You could just... It's hard to beat. Yes, fishing and beans is hard to beat.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's hard to beat. But anyhow, I don't know when I found out he said things. And he'd done about everything, you see.
Oh, yes. Sir.
And everything he said, you could listen to it and learn something.
Learn something.
Yes,
it was a different story every time. He
yes,
never, his mind was so clear, he never repeated the same story.
That's right. I know that, yeah.
If he did, it was a different angle from, you know,
that's
the same
right.
experience, but
yeah,
from a different
right.
angle.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, sir. And he, all sorts of things. And, you know, it just made, I noticed various subjects come up. Now, he never got on the CCC. That's curious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I never.
Well, I guess it just never came up in
it.
Such a way that.
The reason Pop ever got to the CC camp because he wasn't involved directly, but he has been up to the camp he and Mom many times.
Yeah.
And I take him in there and feed him fried oranges. Oh, he loves those oranges.
I know you've heard his World War I experiences.
Not much.
It seems to me as though I've heard more of them in more recent years, in the last couple of years, that he's told more of experiences that he had in France than I'd ever heard him talk about before. He told about being real sick. Ralph and I, he went to my house. A couple of nights he's been down here. So we talked 2 o'clock in the morning the other morning. And they're still wanting to know what we were talking about. What we found to talk about at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right,
so I told them, I said, well, it's not often that I have an adult to talk to.
Yeah, that's right. Or somebody that actually listens to you.
And a George from right.
And you had this marvelous subject too, I know.
Yeah,
right.
This is what we were talking about Papa.
Yes,
Ralph said he's heard Papa's stories 35 years. But they're all up here. No.
Well, you have to get used to the tapes. I just have 2 or 3 little tapes, but they're nice. But you have to get used to them. And I'll send you a copy of them. You can play them whenever you want to.
Appreciate it.
It's that beautiful boy.
What I've got. Yeah, it's got a beautiful voice.
Oh, I know it has.
Yeah.
This was something about him. His voice was low, but yet it carried.
Even in precise.
Mm-hmm.
Juanita and I were talking,
you know,
this morning.
Mr. Ott, Carl, when he was talking, well, he was saying yesterday, it was in your presence, that he said he was a Charles de Gaulle of the housing division, you know,
yeah.
The years he was there.
That's right.
Lay back. Lay
back.
You never thought
of
that.
I never laid
that.
I
think
it.
Okay.
Oh, we got Suzanne cut them some cakes.
Oh, I have plenty. My
I
goodness,
that
pudding. Oh, really? That pudding was delicious. What'd you do to it?
Take over. No, I have one of my friends down the country here was at the CC camp, Willie Chitty.
Who?
Willie Chitty.
Which one is he? Lives out at there, out here in the.
Right. And oh,
he can really talk about what he did there. It was you know, at that time, I remember it partly from being up in the Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go up there and, you know, just walk around, camp out, or ride around. Stay for a week at a time, and had those camps all through the, mm-hmm. through the mountains. And, I thought all those people camping out and traveling themselves, it wasn't anything compared to those boys, you know, out
right.
there in those camps. And they made so many of those trails up
oh,
there.
Oh, yes, fire lanes and trails and what have you.
Yes.
Soil conservation.
And those trails they made were nice.
Beautiful, right?
Beautiful.
Just put
things.
It right here on.
I don't know where in the world they got the directions to do all those, because, you know, a bunch of fellas, they could have just taught the place, but they didn't.
No, but they did. They used the compass. Set that compass on an angle and had a man to go through the line.
Yeah.
They'd take, what do you call it, a machete and cut a line to get the scoring. Where you could see about 2 miles of straight as a needle.
Yeah.
Then they'd move out on either side.
Oh, really?
Because mm-hmm. at Ocala National Forest, I don't think there's 100 square feet in that I haven't been on.
Oh, really?
One time or another.
Exactly.
And there's some awful forest in there.
Yes.
You used to have a lot of fires in there. Probably
yes.
would get careless. And,
yeah.
And at one time, they had this forest fire, and several of the men almost got caught. They happened to find a little lake and got into the lake, but their fingernails were burned brown from the heat. Because we had fire lanes 100 feet wide in there, and the fire jumped across this thing 100 feet wide.
Yeah.
So well,
that
wind,
was hot, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness, it's hot.
I noticed over in this these container holdings around here. There's one over at Cross Creek. I don't know how wide those fire lanes are.
It's delicious.
But they're not very wide. And they're not improved at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's no grass or anything there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for grazing and all like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did they in the Ocala, they don't graze in the Ocala?
No, you see, all you've got is these scrub pines, just
yeah.
as thick as this almost.
Yeah.
And palmettos and thorn bushes and whatever. But it's as thick, there's no grass down below.
I see.
But you have all this vegetation which has fallen on the ground, and you can strike a match and throw a cigarette. And once that gets started, and you ground fire, then she starts raising and gets into the
yeah.
needles and all this, and with the wind going too, and the heat, it takes everything to go.
Can I say something, Guy?
Yes,
sir. That's
just
attitude.
Stopping it.
With Big Mama, I'm talking about Papa. You're going to have to go easy and let her lead into it. Now, the family over there, their reaction is that, no, she doesn't want to hear any tapes and this sort of thing. That's all right. But like I told Betty a few minutes ago, I was coming over here by choice because I wanted to hear them. Now, Ralph and I see things the way you see it. From a different light, and like I told you, I mean, it just thrilled me to death when Florence told me this the other day, that you had recorded something that we have taken for granted. You know, we've known him, and we've heard his stories, and we've listened to him and enjoyed him. We don't have a record of him. But, like I told Ralph, this to me, I mean, there's nothing morbid about it. The fact that, you know, some people's memories are recorded in writing, but you've got his with his voice too, which I think is great. Now, Paul and I and Ralph see things differently. Now, the family, they're, oh, well, they don't, you know, Big Mama doesn't want to hear these tapes and things like that. Now, if she ever asks you, or she ever brings it up, then it'll be the time. But I wouldn't even mention anything to her about it. And let her.
I didn't mention it to you.
Guys, I know he He didn't want me to talk about it when I mentioned it the other day, but Florence, she couldn't keep from telling me. Florence and I got, I guess, big mouths.
You don't have to worry about me telling it. Or playing them.
That's right. But the family seemed to think that you'd bring them over there to play to her, see.
Yeah.
And like I told them, I said, I'm going by choice. That's my choice. Okay, that's all right. If you want to go over there, I said, let's go with. But I didn't sit in front of Big Mama. But I said it to Betty, because Betty said, don't want him bringing those tapes over here playing for Big Mama. I said, he won't bring them unless Big Mama wants them. But I said, I'm going over there by choice, Betty, because I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I were you, I'd just let her mention it if she cares to mention it. But she didn't know, but what you might say something that would be upsetting and what have you. Like I told last night, I said, whatever Guy had said, I'm sure you would have been pleased to hear.
Right.
But that arrangement was hers.
Yeah.
It was
hers.
Yeah,
that's what was obvious. Yes.
You could tell from every bit of the arrangements. Mm. Dick Williams, he was not my choice or Paul's, but he was hers.
Sure.
And Paul told her she put him in a position he didn't like to be put in of having to deal with him, but he was the one that had to go to the funeral home to make the arrangements for her, and Dick is the one he had to deal with, which he would not have by his own choice ever had any dealings with Dick Williams. But
you know, you're talking about that dog in the bed.
Yeah, we got one sleeps in the bed with the kids.
Now,
Smokey does.
That new,
every morning he's in somebody's bed.
Didn't bother if Bell was coming, but I heard Mabel's step. Now, where was that?
This is down in Evingston. You mean when they had the dog?
Well, they up in Waycross.
Well,
they had the dog.
Oh, yeah, they had him up in Waycross. That's where
he lived. Yeah. How long? They got him for Paul when Paul
was
about
14 years old. He was
he was old when he died.
Yeah.
In fact, Paul, you know what Paul told me? If Blackie had lived, he'd never gotten married.
Yeah,
this is what
dog.
He used to tell me. He said, well, if I can live,
that's about right, too.
And that was Albert Waycross.
Well, I can remember riding around in the car with him when we were just teenagers, 12, 13, 14 years old, having to ride in the back seat because Spokey was in the front.
Right.
I mean, Blackie was in the front seat.
Yeah.
And his mother's LaSalle.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Spokey did. Yeah. I mean, that Blackie didn't get out of the front seat.
Mabel has told me off. Just as with the most infinite skill, without any effort whatsoever. I wonder if she's always done that. Now, yesterday, let me tell you, the other night, first night we was over there, and Juanita's over there, she was saying things that tell me about somebody who was good in genealogy, and I'd try and tell her I wasn't interested.
He wasn't interested in history.
And everything she said, you know, I'd say something.
She thought you were trying to pick at me about the moonshine business. I said, well, shoot, I don't know anything about the moonshine business.
Yeah. And Mabel looked off. You know, she's sitting there in all that discomfort. And we were sitting over there, and she sort of looked over like that, like a turkey gobbler. And she says, you are sure insulted. Just sort of cracked those words out, you see.
You know what she thought?
Voice.
I don't know whether you were or not. You know what she thought? See, you have her so suspicious about that tape recorder that she just thinks you've got it on every time you walk in the door.
It's fear. It's fear.
Yeah. And she thought that you were trying to get me to talk to about the moonshine business and you had the tape recorder on. Well, even if you were, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But see, that's what she thought. Now, if you were gone, she said, did you see him open his jacket when he sat down over there and he come over there and he sat real close to you and he started talking? I didn't pay attention to it. But see, you got a real suspicious. Like you got everybody else around here. None of them will talk to him because they think he's got his tape recorder all the time.
Mabel was sitting right there one day and there was that remote control thing to the television was over there. It was lying right here.
She knew
said,
it was that.
What's that thing?
No kidding.
Yeah.
She was so cute about it.
Suspicious.
What's that thing?
Why not?
But you know, I was telling Ralph that, you know, she had the idea that maybe you were taping their talking and playing it for your students up there. and she resented.
I don't even play tape anywhere.
She didn't know what you were doing with them. All she knows is you had a tape recorder. And she didn't know when you were using it and when you weren't.
And Gay,
I have had a tape recorder that worked. This old thing over here works, but all I use it for is that thing there. Do you associate, she can get people told?
Who, Big Mama?
Oh, yes.
Oh, shoot, we know her.
Huh?
We've had to live with her all these years.
I mean, she has a great gift at that. She has just told me off with great skill, infinite skill.
Right.
With great ease.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say satisfaction, but ease, with great ease.
Well, she ran me off the torch.
She's tried to use this on me for years and years. And
she
used the same thing on me for years.
Yeah.
And at first it kind of hit me kind of hard.
Yeah.
I just twisted out the other way and changed the conversation to get
it. See, she ran me off the porch up there. This is just after the divorce. And Paul had he had remarried, but I didn't know he was married. And she was trying to keep the kids from finding out. And that was the day we found out. Not from her, but from somebody else. And I went back up there to tell her. And she said something about, she didn't want him hurt anymore. I said, I didn't start this hurt campaign. And she ordered me off that front porch. Well, Papa was sitting out on his box by the smokehouse door. They were in the big house still. He was sitting out there. Well, she was telling me, I was telling her, and she was telling me to get out of that house. And I wasn't leaving until I got finished saying what I had to say. So Papa came in, came through the house, and he told me to go on. He said, go on, get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, I found out later, he'd already had it with Big Mama.
Yeah.
And he'd gone out there to sit by himself and get his wits together. So he was trying to get me and her separated. He was on my side, not hers. But he wanted me to, get on out so he could get her straightened out. But that's when I moved.
Yeah.
Okay.
tell me a case.
Sir?
A Big Mama.
A case of Big Mama?
Yes.
Oh, telling you.
She has that gift. I saw it there. It's nice.
There's
and
certainly
she's so cool.
It is, yes. Oh, she can have it cool, yes. Many times she's tried to bring me up here and pick me out a girlfriend I'm going to go with, I'm going to marry, and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And I just said, Mom, let me tell you one damn thing. Let's get this thing straight right off the bat.
Yeah.
You don't tell me what to do on any condition except when I'm under your roof and I'm your table. You tell me to get from that table, I'll get up. One time I was working real hard, God gives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Pop says, son, why don't you come on up here? And I used to, I'd run the loan business, finance business. I'd come up the farm and strip down into nothing but shorts and sandals, go out there and work like a Trojan 2 weeks.
Oh, they used to work over there, didn't they?
Work like a Trojan. So Pop says, son, I'll tell you what to do. He said, why don't you come on up here to this damn farm and I'll give it to you.
I can get you.
Mm-hmm.
And be glad to get
be
rid of it.
Be glad to get rid of it.
He just had somebody to work.
He says, I'll give it to you. I said, Pop, let me tell you one thing. I kind of hit the old fist down on the table. I says, with me and you, yes, I can buy that. But Mom, here, hell no. I can't live with her 15 minutes. And you know what? I said, son, what do you mean about that? That's exactly what I said.
I had such great respect for Mabel's vegetables. I went into the silage business. First thing I did down here was sweet potatoes, and that's another story. And then I thought, well, I'll get all this grass, I'll get some cows. And they weren't doing well, so I thought, well, we was brought up raising silage up the country. It wasn't very good. Different was down here. There's a whole lot to it, if you fix for it, and you got your neighbors to come in and help you like we did up there, the different branches of family, it's simple. And so everything a fella does, he does too big.
Where you come from, the Midwest?
Do I?
You come from the Midwest?
Almost.
Well, I don't even drive through it if I can help it.
I don't blame you, I don't either. But used to, I'll put it that way.
No, I'm Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Kentucky, right up there. I put 20 acres of corn in. It was that beautiful corn. Fairly hard, not too hard. I forget what they call it, Florida 20 or something like that.
all through those fields over there, clearing up to this little lane here in front. And I done it just like she said. Everything to plant it. And I'd go to the store and down the winds and tell them what I was doing, and they'd say, "Who told you that?" Didn't anybody agree with them. And I remember I was getting some nitrate of soda, and Rob Wood says, "We used to use that, but we use something else, I forget now." But I got what she said. And you know, I had Mr. Gilbert can tell you that. He saw that. Mabel saw it. That was one of the prettiest pieces of corn ever grown in this country. I don't claim any credit for it at all. You can follow directions, you know. At least I did that time. That's what I thought of Mabel at that time. I hadn't...
had really gotten acquainted with her, huh?
I wasn't acquainted with Phil at that time. I thought he's up the office most of the time daytime anyhow, you see. Yes.
How long have you been out here?
60.
Have you? 60. 70. That's before he retired.
Oh, that was a beautiful piece of corn. And you know, what I found was you couldn't grow corn for salads. You'd have to grow something else. It goes from the milk stage into the hard stage so fast. It's hard before you can get it in. You just can't do it. I also paid $100 a day for a dump truck.
That wasn't her suggestion.
Yeah. And I was glad to get it.
Well, I'll tell you, she does know farming. She can tell you from what to do from the beginning right on down the line. Explain
yes.
it in detail just
oh,
what
that
to
was
do
a
every
great
step.
Loss to me, you know, when she got so heavy she was afraid to take care of those. Mm-hmm. She still had 3 or 4 calves on a cow.
Yeah.
When I was and it was a lively place over there.
Oh, they tried hogs. They had hogs. You've seen all those pens they had down there with the concrete bottom
yeah.
and all.
Yeah.
And they had the barn fixed up when they moved there, you know, for milk cows. They had stalls there.
Oh,
and
yes.
Everything fixed for the cows. And they had horse and mules. And one time they tried the chicken business. But see, Papa's health went bad. And he had to get out of the sawmill business. And this
oh, really?
Was back about 43, wasn't it, that he had to get out over at Bayard. They were at Bayard at the time, and he had a nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was
he
come to the farm, you know, and the money didn't last too long. What they salvaged didn't last too long. And so when he was able to go to work, he got this job up in the housing division.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a wonderful job. They let him work until he was almost 71 years old, and they hated to see him leave then. But he really knew how to handle the janitors and the janitresses up there. He didn't have any foolishnesses out of any of them, but like he told them, he said, he's talking about him putting in time clocks up there. And he told them, he said, he wasn't no fool with his employees punching a time clock, that as long as he'd been there, he was there at 7:30 in the morning, and every one of his employees were on the job, ready to go to work by 8 o'clock. And he didn't need a time clock.
And
he didn't use it. He didn't use it. His employees didn't punch in like the other places that they installed those time clocks. He told them they didn't need it. He said, "I've never been late, and my employees have never been late."
His health went down.
And how many years was it that he was not able? He stayed around the farm, and Big Mama farmed. And, of course, I don't know, I guess she made money on some things and lost it on others,
yeah, that's
like
right.
you do in the farming
down,
business. It was an up and down
mm-hmm.
thing. But, of course, you could never keep her from putting in a crop. She's going to put in something.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there was a piece of ground vacant, she had something. It had cabbage and squash and
eggplant,
watermelon. She even put in a watermelon crop, and
yeah.
this type of thing. Like Paul, he's not interested in farming. She had him out there packing squash one time, helping to pack squash. And he put him a rocking chair out there under the oak tree, and he was rocking in the rocking chair and wrapping squash. He said, "Now this was his idea of farming." No, that's not Paul's interest, it's farming. His interest is flying. As long as he can fly something. I mean, he'll do other work in order to be able to fly. And that's what his daddy worried about, that flying business. And I was telling him the other day about him being on this dope raid in Jacksonville when they raided with a helicopter. You know, they used the helicopter, picked up 16 in one swoop. He flew the helicopter that morning, 4:30 in the morning. Well, this is while his dad was in the hospital. And I didn't tell him that day. I didn't tell him until the next day, you know, about it was in the paper, you know, about the ones they picked up. And I told him that Paul had flown the helicopter. He said, "He doesn't pay a bit of attention to me, does he?" I said, "Well, Papa, you know he's going to be flying something. If it isn't a helicopter, it's going to be something else." He said, "Yes, he's just dying to fly that jet. Because Major Evans flies the jet for the National Guard, and he said he wants to fly that jet." I said, "I don't think he wants to fly the jet." He insists that he does. But he said to me the other day, this is over at the VA hospital, I guess it was Monday, he's telling me, he's talking about Big Mama, he said, "There's not but one like her."
Well, that's very true.
That's right. Just one like her.
Now say that again. My mind wandered.
I said, Papa, last Monday, I was at VA hospital. Of course, Big Mama went to see him on Sunday.
Yeah.
She was there last Friday to see him.
Yeah.
And he said, "There's not but one like her." That's all he said. "There's not but one like her." I said, "You're so right. There's not but one." Thank the Lord for that.
Right.
We wouldn't know what to do if there was more than one, would we?
That's for sure.
Aunt Emmy wouldn't know what to do either, because she gets Aunt Emmy sometimes, where she doesn't know which way to go with it.
Well, now, has she always cooked like she does now?
Cook?
Well, right now, she can't cook.
I understand that.
And she can't even have to eat what she wants. But yes, sir, she's always cooked like that. You go in fact, she was more so, because you could go to her house and there would be two or three kinds of cake there all the time.
Guy, I've seen as many as 15 and 20 people spend the night at that house at night, and she gets in and bakes up turkeys, ham, dressing, big pot of beans
always.
And ham hocks.
She doesn't know
and
how to cook
bread.
For two people.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Many times I'd come by at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd say, "Hey, knock on the door. Hey, is that coffee ready? How about some cold cornbread and black-eyed peas or turnip gravy?" Pop said, "Son, if you didn't come around after midnight, I wouldn't know what to do." I said, "Get up there, let's see some cornbread." He said, "Okay, let's do it." Never complain.
No, there was always...
And I'd go on, if I had the time according to where I was going.
She never knew how many
I'd
she was going to have
in
that house.
4 o'clock in the morning. "Son, aren't you sleepy?" I said, "Oh, we'll sleep after a while. Let's talk a while, Pop. Well, maybe go to bed and then up there talking." We'd sit there and talk in daylight many times.
But Betty
you
Morgan.
I'm listening.
Betty Morgan came down and brought her whole high school class.
Yeah.
They were on a trip from Cordell, Georgia. Went to Daytona Beach. She brought the whole darn class back there, and they all spent the night at Big Mama's. She put, this is in the big house up there, put pallets out on the floor for them. All right, I'm going to shut up.
No. Just
let him talk to you.
So in his direction. Let me tell you,
he's going to have to come out here and spend a week with
yes,
you, Miles,
right,
and
right.
maybe y'all can cover first base anyway.
Now, that picture you had then, you have been in there when they had that table just full?
You've helped carry the crab there, haven't you, Ralph?
I brought the crabs there myself.
Yeah.
Up in Jacksonville, I'd say, "Let's go down to Mom and Pop's."
Oh, really?
I says,
that right?
The old house up there, the big one. I says, "Go, let's go down. We're going to have Pop build his house." I brought a couple of guys down. I says, "I'm going to wire the house and I'm going to supervise the work. Get up here and start running this wires." And we'd work.
Yeah.
Work all day Saturday. Come time to eat, we'd go down to Evanston. They live in a big two-story house down there, and we'd go down there and eat. After got the house completed, I says, Pop, what kind of house you going to build? He said, "I'll tell you what I've been figuring out." He said, "I'm going to use yellow and black cypress, and when I cut a board, I'm just going to pick it up and slap it up there." I says, "No particular pattern?" He says, "I ain't going to use no pattern, where it's a 6-inch, a 4-inch, a 10-inch, a 12. I'm going to slap it up there." And that's what he did. The baseboards are made of cedar. He said, my closet's going to be lined with cedar.
Oh.
I thought he's off his rocker. He knew what he's doing.
Yeah.
But the Davises didn't appreciate the house, because they've gone in there and painted and done it. You wouldn't, you wouldn't recognize it.
Oh, well. But we come down and spend the weekend. We do a fishing sometimes, but mostly work. Then at night, Paul and I, we'd go out rabbit hunting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, rabbit hunting with the lights and whatnot. Over here, over River Styx Road, all in through there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just lived off the princely side of the land. I don't know what it is. You just made the most of it, didn't you?
I made the most of it. I've lived a full life.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, for the first time this summer.
Take this lettuce leaf and cut the cheese and put it in the mouth.
No, that's right.
No, what I was going to say, for the first time this summer, when Ralph came with the kids, they stayed at a motel in Gainesville because of Big Mama's, wasn't able to, and Big Mama and Papa were not able to, take care of them and cook and this sort of thing.
Now, that was just country at its best, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
You could go there and wire the house, and then you could go out and rabbit hunt that night.
That's right, right.
Now, what more you'd expect, I don't know.
Well, I expected more, and I got it. With them ham hocks and black-eyed peas and beans right out of the field there. She'd have a pot to put this for.
Yes.
Vegetables, yes.
Vegetables, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was 1940.
No, it was after 40.
No, it's
from 40 forward.
Yeah,
they came down here in 39.
That particular house, yeah, they came down here in 39.
They came in 39 and moved into that two-story house of Ms. Bidell's, and that's where they lived till they built this house.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Now, that they was right in their prime, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Right.
And you could come over there by yourself or bring somebody with you. It didn't matter.
And they say, son, who'd you bring with you? You by yourself? Why didn't you bring somebody with you? And they'd seem hurt or insulted.
That's right, if you didn't come back.
Now, food was just to put on the table and eat.
Right, right. And if I didn't eat as much as three people, I was sick.
Yeah.
And she still thinks I should eat that way. Well, I worked hard. Get up early in the morning, real early in the morning. Put in a real hard day's work, regardless of what it might be.
You ought to see her over there trying to cram food and everybody now, and she can't even eat. They're no sooner get through with breakfast than she's trying to get them to eat lunch.
Yeah.
And I told her I wasn't ready to feed him again. I just gave him breakfast at 10 o'clock, and she was wanting to eat lunch at 11:30. He ate, too.
Big Mama got him.
Yeah, I used to. When I was coming up, I come from up down in South Florida. We had no industry whatsoever, and had very little of anything.
Yeah.
And if I took a shotgun out there, I took one shell, I had to bring back a rabbit or a squirrel or something to eat.
Yeah.
Take a .22 rifle, and the old man says, you don't miss, you hit him.
Yeah.
You get him.
Yeah.
So I'd get him. And whatever I'd kill, I'd eat. So when I came up here, and I'd go out at night, Paul and I, and we'd kill three or four rabbits, and we'd get into the niggas around the neighborhood, and we'd save some for ourselves, and we'd eat one or two. Mom didn't mind the rabbits. She didn't care too much for rabbits or any kind of wild game. Squirrels or looked like rats to her. One night, Paul and I got the idea, a little pond down behind the house had some big bullfrogs down there. We went down there and separated the snakes and whatnot, killed us four or five big bullfrogs, big as your fist. Legs about this long.
Yeah.
I come walk in the house, I have them frogs to put in the refrigerator. Mom says, get out of this goddamn house with them stinking frogs, and I mean get out now.
She used that kind of language?
I don't know what she, it's almost that bad. It was rough though. I never heard of you, brother. I got.
Yeah. Well, now that's what I mean. But now she didn't say it like you did. It sounded sort of crude or affected the way you did. It didn't come natural.
She didn't say it. No cool to that. But she saw slimy frogs.
She meant it. I can hear her.
She has a great gift for that. I wish she'd do it some more, you see, but she won't do it now. At least she wouldn't do it
Well, the kid doesn't ride right now. Yes, sir.
No, she's pretty subdued at this point in life.
Now, that's a side of Paul that I had never heard of, you see. He's sort of a tramp, too.
That's right. We're both a tramp, right.
Yes. Now, he'd just soon go over there and spend the night catching a few bullfrogs.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to find time to get back out there with the bullfrogs now with Willie and Don.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well,
he's sort of been out of contact with the family, Ralph, but he's come around.
See, Paul's been away from the hunting and the fishing, and he and I used to do a lot of hunting at night and hunting in the daytime, and he kind of drifted away from it.
Yeah.
He got mixed up with a different
crowd
of people.
He never was much on fishing. Pop and I, we'd do the fishing, but I couldn't get Pop away from Mom.
Yeah.
She wouldn't trust us together.
Yeah.
She's afraid we was going to go out and get drunk or something.
Well, she'd know.
That's right. I never will forget that. Let me tell you. I come up one weekend, and Pop had been down to Miami with Guy Herlong. What's his name?
V.J. Herlong.
Yeah. Herlong. He came back, and Mom was sitting out on the back porch there, and Pop and I was back there in the kitchen talking. Come back for a drink of water or something. And Pop says, son, would you like to have a little drink? And I said, well, what you got, Pop? He said, somebody gave me a filth of whiskey, and he says, been sitting up here all this time. He says, what's say let's have a little drink. I said, well, you, Pop, okay. Pulled out this filth of whiskey there, and I said, Saratoga. I said, I never tasted it, but I said, I'll try anything one time with you. Got us a glass, he took out a drink there, and he poured me one. About that time, Mom walked in the kitchen. I grabbed that glass, I popped it too. What the hell's going on in this place? Don't y'all know I don't like any whiskey in this damn house? I said, Mom, ain't nothing wrong with it except to taste that stuff. I said, Pop, who made that stuff? And I'm getting this sick on my stuff. Have you ever tasted the Saratoga whiskey? Don't try it. Like, it tastes like kerosene and castor oil mixed.
Yeah. Where in the world did he get a hold of it?
I said, Pop, you don't have a friend. I said, I don't know who your enemy is. He hates you that bad. But I said, well, you take this and give it back to him.
Was it local?
No, it's you can buy it in the stores now, I think.
Oh, bonded.
Yeah, bonded whiskey. I don't know what it's made from, though.
Guy's trying to find out where they make moonshine around here.
Oh. You come
you have to
Tennessee.
Get in touch with Andy Graham.
I can get you some Tennessee white lightning.
And if you get in with him, he can tell you where the moonshine stills are.
I can't get in with him. I tried.
I can get you some Tennessee white lightning. You want some of that?
I don't want it. I just want to hear about it.
How to make it?
He's the greatest listener.
Yeah.
I've made moonshine, too.
You have?
I said,
well, let me tell you. I have, too. And I have drunk it right out of the...
I have, too, while it's hot.
Yes, they tell me it's cool. Who in the hell told me it was cool when it come out of that?
Hot as...
Yeah.
Hot as 10
they days. Said it had to condense in order to get down there. But it don't condense in ice, and I mean, it don't come out that way.
Yeah.
Well, what can you tell people who tell you that it comes out when it condenses at school?
First, I made the man says, get down there and suck on that pipe. And I then fell backwards. That pure alcohol steam come down in my throat and into my lungs.
Well,
it almost killed me.
Yeah, see,
this is the greatest entertainment around, isn't it?
That's right.
Goes on all.
Yes.
One of you all might have to get going. I got a long way to go. Guy might have to come down here sometime and spend a little more time talking to you.
Well,
if I'd known you all was setting up for 2 o'clock, I'd been up there.
I wish you had been up there. We wouldn't have
gone
to bed at all.
We wouldn't have gone to bed at all.
We wouldn't have gone to bed at all.
I tell you, this is what we need. You see, we were so hurt about Miss Patterson. This is what you need.
Where's the coffee?
We both were, because This is the sort of talking.
Mm-hmm. Sit and relax. Get your hair down. Say what you want to.
Yeah,
say what you feel like.
Yes. Well,
see, Ralph and I look at things in a different light. I don't consider death as being a morbid thing. It's something that every human has to go through at one time or another.
But just, yeah, look how alive he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's morbid, it's awful, it's all those things, but you can't do a thing about it.
It's true.
Well, to me, the way I look at it, there's no more suffering, no more problems.
Now, wait, I just don't understand. They just brought Georgia down here, didn't they? Because I don't know but what this part of Florida is, huh?
Well, see, Pop and Mom originally comes from Georgia, and all their people from up there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm a Florida boy myself, but I've been living up in Georgia since 1960.
Yeah.
The kind of work I do is in Atlanta. And my family's up there. But I've been trying to get back to Florida. If I can get something to make a halfway decent living, I'll be back here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I don't like that state you call Georgia, especially Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's a little different, yeah.
Yes, sir.
But now, that big table they set and all like that, and who'd you bring with you? Why didn't you bring somebody? Now, you see, that's Georgia they brought with them.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I ask...
They never called. Those folks up there that are there now, nieces and nephews and what have you, they never made a phone call to say they're coming. They rolled in, a carload of them.
Yeah.
To spend the night, stay the weekend, spend a week. They may take a week's vacation. And the first you'd know they were coming down here to spend it with you is when they rolled in.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to bother until, of course, they got older. And then it looked like that the only way that they could get away from these crowds of people and her not being able to look after them was getting that little house that didn't have a space.
But now,
because they didn't have the heart to tell people.
Before that.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, now they could just roll in.
Yeah.
Right.
They could and they did.
And now Mabel could do an immense amount of work herself, and then she had people that she could get
she
to work for.
People.
She had
she
colored people
had
to come in. Always
working.
She had a maid. Somebody come in and do the washing, fold the clothes, and do the ironing. She had
make
electric
the beds
ironing,
and
make the bed.
Yeah.
Clean
but
up
nobody
the kitchen.
Did the cooking except her.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's where she didn't allow anybody else to do the cooking. She did the cooking herself because she took pride in it.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, it was good.
Yeah.
You've eaten a fruitcake, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
She wants to make that fruitcake again this year. Well, she wants to. She's already after somebody to hull out the nuts. And I think Mary's going to have to put the batter together under her supervision right there in front of her. With her telling her what to do. And
oh, that'd be nice.
That'd be
it?
Wonderful.
Oh,
that's what,
just be
that's
wonderful.
The
that's
yeah.
what she wants. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She wants to make that fruitcake.
As long
again
as she can keep
year.
That mind active,
Juanita,
and keep that mind going.
Oh, it's been several weeks ago. The kids had been up babysitting, 9:30 on a Saturday morning when we like to sleep late. She had Dolly out here with her, the girl that stayed, white woman that stayed out there with her. 9:30 in the morning, she calls and wants somebody to come up there and put a pound cake together. She has the butter softened. Well, Aunt Emmy told me that she had sent to the grocery store for pure butter. She says, I don't know what she wants it for, unless it's a pound cake. 9:30, she wanted one of those kids to come out there and put a pound cake together.
Yeah.
And her sick and couldn't eat it. But she thought the kids would be out there. Paula would be coming down that weekend. And she wanted a pound cake there because they enjoyed it.
You know, it'd be one of the nicest things in the world if the young people could take on all those skills, wouldn't it? And not only skills, but...
If you could pass on your knowledge
and
to youth.
Well, it's not knowledge. It's the gusto.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, whatever it is. If the children could just get a hold of some of that, wouldn't it be marvelous?
It would be true.
And that's the one thing they can't do. You see, the old people have got to adapt to the children. Isn't that
mm-hmm.
sad?
That's right.
But, you know, there's just too few... You just don't know too many people like me.
That's true.
You just think they're
Why, you see, they waste all that time in school. If they could just spend a week or two up there making a fruit cake with Mabel.
Right.
Wouldn't that be something?
And I've got to get going. I've got a long way to go.